Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Sammet, alongside my trusty co-host, Stephen Julian. Hello, Stephen.
Morning, Mike. Wow, you are peppy this morning.
It's the guests. We have such peppy guests today.
I am very, very excited. And thank you for the no pause before trusty.
Yes. No.
I feel like I'm earning trust.
Yeah.
When
last week I paused before I said trusty, but I feel more confident.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And
thank
I know you are. So, Stephen, it's going to be a great show today. We have three wonderful guests, and we're going to be talking about their businesses and what they do. Joining us from the Elder and Disability Law Firm of Victoria L. Collier, it is Victoria Collier. Also joining us on the show from Eva and Irma's house, it's Jill Kremens. And from Senior Provisions, we are joined by Amy Henschel. There's an inside joke there, but we'll share that later when we talk to Amy.
Right.
Yes.
So hang on for that, everybody.
Yeah, stick around. Or if you're listening to the podcast, you can fast forward
right.
The interview right now. But let's start with Victoria Collier. Victoria is with the Elder and Disability Law Firm of Victoria L. Collier. Victoria, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. Glad to have you here. Tell us all about your law firm and the types of law that you specialize in.
Well, I can first start off by saying I've never been characterized as peppy as a lawyer. But but our law firm is definitely compassionate. We serve generally the elder population in estate planning, which includes Medicaid and veterans benefits, as well as special needs planning for people who are younger who have disabilities, and generally their parents are the one who are taking care of them. So we help them plan for that succession planning for their child.
So when we talk of elder law, is that the definition of elder law?
Well, the definition of elder law can be broader than that, but generally society thinks elder law is Medicaid planning, but it includes veterans benefits, it includes estate planning for people of all ages, special needs planning, but can also be broader into guardianship and probate.
Are there many attorneys that are specialized in elder law, sort of like you are?
Across the nation, there are about 400 people, 400 people that do it exclusively, but there's a National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys that has about 4,000 members. In the state of Georgia, we have maybe 10 lawyers who just exclusively do elder law. There's plenty of lawyers who say they do it, but they do so many other things that they don't focus on just elder law.
Well, I have to ask Victoria, obviously you got your law degree and you decided to make the conscious effort to go into elder law. Why that aspect of law?
Well, I moved out of my parents' house when I was 17 years old, still in high school, and one of the jobs I had was as a nurse's aide in a nursing home doing hands-on care, and I loved that aspect of it, but it wasn't getting me where I wanted to professionally, which, you know, at 17, what do you think? But I knew I wanted to go to college, so I joined the military, and while in the Air Force, I also did home health care privately at night so that I could save more money. And so that really is where my passion came from. I wasn't raised with my grandparents. They died when I was fairly young. And so that really filled that gap for me. And so all the jobs I had leading up to and through law school had to do with disability in some way. And it was just the seniors that I loved the most.
Victoria, let me kind of open the door wide and let you decide what path you want to take us down. But start at kind of square one. And I'm not going to say typical client because there probably isn't a typical client. It probably runs the spectrum. But when someone comes in your door, where do you like to start with them when it comes to the estate planning, when it comes to and let's kind of focus on estate planning. I think that's something that everybody has a need for. So where do you start with them? What is the need? What is lacking in the average person's estate plan, especially in elder law? Just kind of here's the door. Walk through it. Tell us where you want to go.
Okay. Well, I'll first start off with what is lacking in someone's estate plan, assuming that they have one. So if they don't, then it's lacking to begin with. but what's lacking is what their desires are and to make sure that it's the plan is following their desires. The 90% of law firms will basically go through this process. The client calls on the phone, and then they say, I need a will. And so the lawyer schedules an appointment, the client comes and what I say bleeds out for 45 minutes their story, and the lawyer says, this is your solution, this is the price, I'll see you in a few months, and we can sign everything. We do it a bit differently. First, we prefer them to come through an education seminar where they understand what the different options are, and so they can self-identify as to what makes sense for them and what doesn't, because not having something is sometimes as important as having something. And then if they go through that education seminar, we have another then process where they come into an appointment where we do an audit to find out what's important to them. Not what do they need or not need, but what's important to them. And then that designs their plan. And so everything is very personalized to them. It's very client-focused versus document-focused.
Can you give a good example of a story of someone who what they specifically wanted that maybe either took you by surprise or said, okay, good, I'm glad I took the time to really listen to what they have to say?
Well, I will say that, for example, an elder person who has a child with disabilities who's an adult, often they will just cut them out of their estate plan and because they don't want them to lose their Social Security disability and Medicaid. And so they'll trust and rely on another child or family member to take care of them. Legally, that other person doesn't have to do that if they're entrusted with that money. And what if they go through a divorce or financial crisis like we saw in 2008 and 9 and they lose their job? And so often they will realize, oh, there's a way I can leave this to them financially, and they won't lose their benefits through special needs trusts and things like that.
This is Gwinnett Business Radio. We're talking with Victoria Collier with the Elder and Disability Law Firm of Victoria L. Collier. And Victoria said, Stephen, earlier she's never been described as peppy, but passionate definitely works.
Passionate and compassionate, no question about it.
We've heard about a living trust before. Explain to us what a living trust is and how necessary is a living trust.
So a living trust is a document, just a piece of paper, that people then would retitle their assets into, like a house or a bank account. The primary purpose of a living trust, which is generally, there's two types. There's revocable and irrevocable. The primary purpose of the revocable is to avoid probate. And so you'll hear a lot of seminars, get invited to prime rib dinners, you know, come avoid probate. So that's what revocable living trusts are all about. But also the second purpose, which is in my line of business, is more important, which is a smooth transition into disability. Because many of your financial institutions won't accept a power of attorney if it's old or if it's too general. Whereas a trustee, they must listen to a trustee. The irrevocable trust, which is also a living trust, why it's called living is because you put it in place while you're living. It takes effect while you're alive instead of upon your death. The irrevocable trust is usually an asset protection matter, asset protection so that you can access quality of care, maintain quality of life, and still get access to veterans benefits or Medicaid.
Victoria, I think one of the... In my day job, one of the myths that I come across is people say, "Well, I don't have enough assets to really do an estate plan. I'll do that when I've got more assets, when I'm more settled or whatever." What are some of the things that people don't realize? And you kind of you've brought up some very good specific examples. So let me let you do some others. Mm-hmm. What are some things for the person who's just good middle of the road salary? You know, maybe not quite paycheck to paycheck. They've put some things away, but. But they're saying, well, I'm not rich, so I don't really need to do an estate plan. What are they missing? What are the biggest issues?
So an estate planning and what people think about is this is death planning. And so distribution upon death. And so I don't have enough to distribute. Elder care planning, long-term care planning, the question is, what am I going to do if I keep living and how do I best do that with my assets? But what both of those are missing without asking the question is, how do I get taken care of while I'm alive? I don't care, quite honestly, I don't care what happens when you die, but I do care what happens to you while you're alive. And so you need a financial power of attorney and a health care power of attorney. And so a situation I can describe is a married couple where, you know, traditionally sometimes the men still have their names on the bank account, the mortgage. And so the spouse maybe doesn't have access. Well, the husband had a heart attack. Things went wrong. I mean, heart attacks today, you're in and out in like days. Well, the doctors didn't do something right, the medication. He was in there for 6 months or more. She started getting foreclosure notices. She didn't have access to the bank account. And he just assumed she would because she was the spouse. She doesn't. She needs power of attorney, financial and health care. She couldn't even get access to the medical records to find out what went wrong. And so it's the powers of attorney that are so important.
And I think one of the things that you've already said, so let's go back to it because I think it's huge, the differentiation between you and other attorneys is you're going to take the time to talk through that. It's not going to be, let me tell you what you need. It's you tell me, and it's more conversational.
Right. So on our audit, we call it an audit of your current plan to find out, does it do what you want it to do? And if not, here's how you would tweak it. So the first question is, how important is it for you to have somebody else to be able to legally manage your finances, pay your bills for you if you were not able to because of either a mental or a physical disability? And then the second question has to do the same thing, but healthcare.
Let me ask you, Victoria, a specific question that some seniors may have and the people that are taking care of their parents may have as well, and that's regarding veteran benefits. And do veteran benefits help pay for assisted living and nursing home costs?
Veterans benefits, there's three types. There's health care, there's compensation for service-connected disabilities, and then there's a pension, which doesn't mean you had to be retired, but a pension for veterans who served during a wartime period. That pension can help pay for home health care, assisted living care, and nursing home care.
Let me ask you one question, too, regarding, you know, assisted living and so forth, because my folks, you know, my mom is getting up there as well, and that may be something that happens sooner rather than later. And I've heard rumors, and I don't know the truth between fact and fiction, that they take a lot of your assets and all your money before the Medicaid kicks in.
So with regard to Medicaid, if someone is, for example, going into a nursing home, the traditional thought is I have to spend down all my assets.
I've heard that.
In order to get on Medicaid. And the first thing we have to distinguish is Medicaid looks at your assets in two ways. There's a pot that's countable against the limit that you can qualify for, and then there's a pot that's exempt. And so, first of all, we don't want to spend down the exempt. I had a client in Savannah who had an IRA, $895,000, but IRAs in Georgia are exempt. The nursing home told him he had to spend it down. And so, of course, we could come in and say, no, you don't. But yes, there are income and asset levels, and what we do as lawyers is we help them distinguish between what's countable, what's exempt, and can we preserve what's countable by using the laws.
We're speaking with Victoria Collier. She's with the Elder and Disability Law Firm of Victoria L. Collier. And obviously, not only is Victoria well-spoken, but you're an author as well. Tell us about some of the books that you've written.
So speaking of estate planning, one book I've co-authored is called Blooper Episodes in Estate Planning and Elder Law, which takes the...
That makes Stephen giggle just hearing the name.
Well, a peppy giggle, but yes, it made me giggle.
And it actually does look peppy. And it takes the sitcoms from the 50s and 60s to illustrate good estate plans and bad estate plans. With regard to veterans benefits, I wrote a book called 47 Secret Veterans Benefits for Seniors, and it really does highlight that pension benefit and how people can qualify for that. And that one is on Amazon.com. And then the last book I co-authored called Don't Go Broke in a Nursing Home. And it really focuses on, it's really good for financial advisors and their clients, but people who want to know what's real about the spin down.
All right, I have to ask, the blooper episodes in Estate Planning and Elder Law, Lessons from Primetime TV, great title, by the way.
See, it makes me giggle, too.
A peppy giggle. Give me what shows did you use? Come on, that's
so like
that's the part I want to know to start, and then I want to read it.
And the great thing is that they're all listed in the back.
There's a glossary. Imagine that, an attorney who footnoted.
So we've got like the Mary Tyler Moore Show. We have Archie Bunker. And
nice. All the classics.
Exactly, the classics that people would recognize.
My favorite would be to probably go, I saw that episode.
So. You mentioned one on it. Are all of them on Amazon?
The veterans book, 47 Secret Veterans Amazon. Benefits, is on Amazon. The other three are going to be available on my website. I actually just had the other two published and in print like within the last 2 weeks.
All right. Well, for those that want to find out more about the books, find out more about your law firm, give us all the contact information, give us the website, all that good information.
Sure. So my website is elderlawgeorgia.com. And so that's www.elderlawgeorgia.com. And Georgia is spelled out. And my phone number is 404-370-0696.
Great stuff, Victoria. I feel like we could talk even well-spoken. I mean, interesting stuff. We could talk all day.
Man, go to the website, go read the books, and give her a call.
I'm going to check the book for sure.
Get your audit. I'm sorry, I have to say that. I love that we do an audit. Imagine that, an attorney that does an audit. I'm so surprised.
Victoria, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
Okay. Our next guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio from Eva and Irma's house, it is Jill Kremens. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Tell us all about Eva and Irma's house, and what do you do there?
Well, Eva and Irma's house is an idea I came up with when, as a retired mortgage banker of 25 years, the market changed in 2008, and I had a lot of real estate, and I had lost my job at the bank when the FDIC closed the bank in 2008. Fortunately, in 2011, I met our next guest, Amy Henschel, and I came up with a wonderful idea of how to turn my empty, vacant properties into something that I love, and that's taking care of people. I took care of my people at the bank. I took care of my customers, my builders, developers, etc. So I had to quickly figure out how to turn my lemons into lemonade. And that's how the idea came about of Eva and Irma's house. I love taking care of people, and seniors were there, and there was a need for that niche market, as Amy had shared with me, and voila, here came the idea. So that's how Eva and Irma's house was formed in my head as a vision, and then became a reality in January of 2012. I received my licensing from the state and received my first client, and now I'm happy to say I'm working on my fifth house. What do we do at Eva and Irma's? We have a lot of fun.
More fun than we're having here?
It's close. Okay. It's a good rival. My ladies and gentlemen that live at my homes are taken care of 24/7, 365 days a year, by either myself or some of my certified nursing assistants that I have hired that work with me.
So, Jill, there is a growing need for in-home care, for assisted living, for locations like yours. I think the big question, and you already talked about it a little bit in the fun that you have, what are some of the other differentiating factors? What are some of the things that make Eva and Irma's different?
One thing that makes it different is our ratio of caregivers to the clients. In my homes that are licensed at this time, I have one caregiver to four or five residents, seniors that live in the home. If you want to visualize the Golden Girls, since we were talking about Victoria and her shows, mine is the Golden Girls, and those ladies were very independent. My clients are not that independent, so therefore they cannot be left alone. They must have watchful oversight. We help them with dispensing their medications. We help them with their toileting needs, whatever it is. But one of the biggest differences is that instead of an institution, and there's nothing wrong with the institutions, they're just set up this way, is we have one caregiver to four or five ladies and gentlemen, where the institutions will have 1 to 15 during the day and 1 to 25 at night.
You know, one of the things I was thinking about, Jill, is a lot of people are taking care of their own parents. And then you mentioned the institutions. I think you are you're a bridge between that. Not many homes has the owner cooking the meals and playing games and hanging out with the Golden Girls, if you will. So obviously that's a huge differentiator. Talk about what a day in the life at Eva and Irma's house is. You said fun. Talk about some of the specific things that you guys try to do to bring fun and also the meals and some of those kind of things.
I'll be glad to. One of the things is, at an institution, because they have so many clients, they have to treat the situation almost like it's in the military. Your seniors, your mom, your dad, your aunts, your cousins, whatever, they are awakened between 6 and 6:30 in the morning. They are quickly dressed, toileted, and taken to the kitchen or the restaurant area in the institution. With my situation, we have a smaller group, so we can be more accommodating. Most of my ladies that work for me are up just on their natural time clock at 6:37. We have one resident that gets up around 7:30. And guess what? The others, who are 91 years old, get to sleep until 10 o'clock because that's what their body clock says. And when they wake up, my girls or I, who are over there, help them with their morning routine. Maybe it's time for a bathing day. Maybe it's time to help them get a new outfit on because their daughter's coming to take them to lunch. We are that specific and that able to do that on a smaller scale. When it comes time to breakfast, the state requires all institutions to give a choice, and we are that way as well. We follow the state guidelines. But my choices aren't just limited to two. It's basically the gambit. Do you want pancakes? Do you want waffles? Do you want oatmeal? Do you want cereal? Do you want just coffee? You know, maybe you've never been a breakfast eater. So we're much more accommodating. Then by the time on my schedule for most of my ladies getting up so late, they have what I call a ladies' light lunch. We usually prepare the lunchtime menu between 1 and 2 because they've just eaten breakfast at 9:30 or 10. So we have fruit, we have tuna salad, chicken salad. Now, if they want a steak fine, we'll go cook them a steak, but most people want a light ladies' lunch. And then the afternoon, we offer a snack. We have games. I have volunteers that come in from the school because under the new Obama guidelines, they're supposed to have some volunteer work. And that's something I didn't get when I was growing up. But my parents saw to that, so we didn't need the government telling us what to do. But anyway, the we have fun. We play bingo. We go to the ice cream store. I've got a little car that will accommodate everyone getting in and out so that they want to travel. They can actually go with us if they want to go on an outing. And then dinner is usually served between 5:15 and 6 p.m., and it's what I call the big meal of the day. And again, it's because of the schedule that we have at the house. And then most of the time, the ladies and gentlemen will want to watch their evening shows just like they did when they were younger. They have Jeopardy. They have the fun ones with Wheel of Fortune. Then they want to watch Downton Abbey, big show right now. They love their Downton Abbey. And then 9:30, 8:30, 9:30, each one kind of says, I'm ready to go get my pajamas on. And we assist them if needed. If not, we give them independence and let them do their self. And usually lights are out by 10. My caregivers go to bed. The ladies and gentlemen go to bed. 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, you start the next day.
And I can move in when?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I tell you what, we're talking with Jill Kremins with Eva and Irma's house here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Talk again about the number of homes you have, the locations. Mm-hmm. Is there zoning issues because it's a business, and are there concerns with the neighbors because they're living next to a senior care home, if you will?
Absolutely. The zoning is one of the biggest hurdles to overcome. This is not an easy process. So as a retired mortgage banker and a real estate owner, I would encourage anyone listening, you are not about to boot out your single family in your rental property and go make a killing on this type of industry. It's hard. You have to follow the state guidelines. You have to follow the zoning guidelines. This is what I call a hybrid. It's a cross between a single family home for zoning, and a business. So a lot of the communities have gotten wind of this type of business, and because owners of these houses do not typically take care of the yard, they let stuff pile up, they do not maybe even mow the lawn. I have my lawn mowed weekly. I'm a good neighbor. The other thing is my perfect client that we touched on last week is a happily confused church lady or gentleman. I am not running a psychiatric ward. So unfortunately, because Georgia cut out a lot of her actual psychiatric hospitals in 2008, these clients and individuals were put back in the community in what you may know as a group home. Well, whether you're living in a starter home subdivision or a gated community in Alpharetta, you actually may have a personal care home in your community and not know about it. That's the good side. You don't know about it. You don't recognize it. The downside is when the owners are not on site, don't take care of their property, have allowed, again, the state is so liberal in this, it shocked me. You can have a third grade reading level and run one of these homes. So the not so nice homeowners and owners of this type of business will get someone of a lower grade capacity to just come in and basically babysit for these people. And they are not of the caliber that my ladies are that work with me or that work at the good available institutions. So you have neighbors who don't like it because when the psychiatric clients, sadly, don't take their medication and they wander outside the home, and we're typically not talking about seniors here. We're talking about anywhere from 20-year-olds to 60-year-olds that just are unruly. Their families have run out of options. They have mental illness, which is a real illness, but you can't really control them. And the owners don't step up and take care of it. So that's the problem. That's the reason the counties and the cities are putting moratoriums on this type of need, even though the need is huge.
Just like anything else, one bad apple seems to spoil the entire bunch.
Exactly.
I've heard this term in your business called aging in place. What does that mean exactly?
Well, again, it goes back to the state guidelines. When someone enters what is called a personal care home, a single family home that typically has 3, 4, 5 bedrooms and houses that many adults with the caregivers on site, when they come into our home, the state has certain guidelines. They must be able to cross my threshold through the door on their own. They must be able to exit the house in our fire drills, which we do have. They must be able to exit the property within 3 minutes. Now, typically that means someone who, even they're on a walker, they can do it. I actually had a fire drill in February of 12 with one of my caregivers, myself, and my first resident. And my first resident kind of showed aspects of not being able to walk real steadily. She made the criteria to get in. But when we did that fire drill, she almost knocked me and my assistant CNA down as she was trying to get out the front door. So the availability is there. We practiced the fire drills. So that is the criteria. They must be able to walk into the threshold. Now, as they progress in age or disability or diagnosis, say Alzheimer, they may actually forget how to walk. We do not call up the family and say, you've got to come get your mom and take her now to a nursing home. The state does allow for that senior who's already in our home to age and progress downwardly with their diagnosis in my homes. So they don't have to be moved and shuffled and transferred again and again and again. And as long as they're able, the resident, the senior is able to sleep at night, then my caregivers are able to get proper rest and they can stay with us at the home as they age.
Jill, as you're talking, of course, there's a lot of attractive aspects of Eva and Irma's house. And a lot of our listeners may say, I want to find out more information. Before we give the website and all that contact information, though, there's a question about, you know, does insurance pay for this? Is it Medicare? Tell us about, how can some people pay for the services?
Right. Again, as a mortgage banker, and I'm so delighted to see Victoria today and see her books. I'm buying them in the parking lot as soon as we leave here. They answer so many questions that, as I, coming from a banking background, regulation background, figured out, and at 50 years old when I started this business, I'm 52 and a half now, I thought Medicare paid for this. I'm 50. My family is not sick. I had no idea. And I just figured that's what my little money went out of my paycheck for, was to take care of me. Boy, was I wrong. The answer is, who funds this? You either go Medicaid, you have a 401k, a retirement, your monthly pension from your IBMs, your government pensions, etc., and this is your personal money per month, or you don't have anything. So in my home, I am all private pay, meaning we look at your pension, your monthly income that comes in from Social Security, your spouse's Social Security, your VA pension that Victoria mentioned and Amy will probably touch on in a moment, all types of income that comes into your checkbook. That's what goes to pay me so I can pay my girls and buy the food and take care of your friends and loved ones.
Jill, a little side note, you mentioned volunteering. Mm-hmm. What kind of volunteers are you looking for? Other than playing games, are there other things that volunteers can help with? And just kind of open the door for that to anybody who'd be interested.
Absolutely. Welcome volunteers of all ages. If you need your high school credits, all the way up to, I'm a retired school teacher and I'd like to get out of the house 2 or 3 hours a week and come over and help you, Jill. What can I do? Well, we have one lady who Amy had referred to me and graciously was able to stay at my home, and she's technically legally blind. So we read to her. She loves to know what's going on, and she's very active in the home. So we read. So anyone that can read, I have a volunteer lady and her 22-year-old daughter coming this Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. They are actually bringing partly built birdhouses, and they're going to paint the birdhouses for spring because my backyard is full of birds.
Love
and
it.
Squirrels.
And Mike, what I love about this show is when guests starting to connect, and Victoria told the story of how she started was in personal care homes and with seniors, and I'm sure there's been volunteer and stuff. So how the stories connect, I love it. So,
and if we could just find some people that are passionate about what
yeah,
they do,
I know.
We'd be halfway home.
So hard to do a show when people are not passionate.
So, Jill, tell us about how folks can reach out to Eva and Irma's house, the website, all the contact information.
Sure, I'll be glad to. The main website is www.myhighlandshouse.net, and that's my main website. On that website, to the right, is a header for Eva and Irma's. And they can click on that header for Eva and Irma's and hear, see a little 3-minute video, tour the home, meet me in person, and get to know me. And then the best way is my cell phone. I have it with me 24/7. The cell phone number is 678-524-4112.
All right, Jill. Well, just like Victoria, I feel like we could talk with Jill forever. I've got a whole bunch. I barely got to some of the questions here. We could talk forever. Good stuff. We appreciate it very much. Thank you so much, Jill.
Thank you.
Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio from Senior Provisions, it's Amy Henschel. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
Now, I know this is a radio, not TV, but I look at Amy. I see a little Amy Poehler here, by the way, looking at you. But you joked. We had a little inside joke that we mentioned at the top of the show, how to pronounce your name. Tell us how you tell people to pronounce your name.
Thanks to my husband, we have a wonderful German last name, and it's just butchered all the time. So it's pretty simple. It's Henschel, just like a sneeze.
God bless you.
No. Since it's from German descent, we must say Gesundheit.
Gesundheit. Ah.
We had the German-American Chamber of Commerce on our show yesterday.
Nice. I missed that.
Yes. So,
Achtung, baby. Sorry, that's the only thing I
know. Go to businessradiox.com. Go to Silver Lining in the Cloud was the show.
Ah.
And listen to Silver Lining in
the Show.
Great show. The show on March 12th.
There you go.
They had the German-American Chamber of
Commerce.
Shout
out by Mike. I like this.
Yeah. So,
let's get back to Amy Henschel.
Cross-promoting there. Tell us, okay, Senior Provisions, Amy.
Yes.
Tell us all about your company, Senior Provisions.
Our company's mission is to come alongside seniors and their families and guide them to making informed decisions about senior care. And as with the other two ladies, everything is just very dependent and unique to each family. So we have a great process in place, but each family's needs are unique, and I think our passion and our heart is really for them to make an informed decision based on good, sound information versus your kind of typical sales pitches. So whether it's staying in their home, getting home care, deciding to move into assisted living or a personal care home, or maybe they are needing skilled nursing. We want them to understand what those individual levels of care look like and really how to pay for them.
Amy, my first question with you being the last guest on today's show is, how could you stay silent during our first two guests? I'm sure you had many things you wanted to pipe in on, so now is your chance. You mentioned it's a process.
Yes.
So I'm going to kind of ask you the same question I asked Victoria. Walk through the process with us. Give us a bird's eye view. When someone comes to you, where do you start?
Well, and let me back up as well and make sure everyone understands. Our services are free to families, and we are reimbursed by private pay resources. So a personal care home, an assisted living, private home care will pay for our consulting services on behalf of the families. So normally what happens is we'll get a referral from a trusted source or through some of the various ways that we're connecting with the community. And the first thing that we do is a phone consultation and kind of to get them directed to one of our many advisors who are local to different territories in Atlanta. And also to hopefully, if we're not going to be able to meet their needs and get them the information, we can get them connected faster to resources that can help them more directly. For instance, we get lots of calls from seniors who are very, very low income, and through our Harvest program, we can connect them directly to CCSP, get them community resource, get them the funds that they need, and get them connected to providers that can provide those services for them. Our process begins right there. Once we identify that we are a good fit for that family, then we can go through a process of a comprehensive needs analysis. So one of our social workers or advisors out in Atlanta will sit down, go through absolutely everything. We begin with usually medical needs, care needs, social needs, and we also like to focus on what is happening immediately with circumstances, and then we want to make sure that we're taking into account future needs. And then after we go through that process, we usually absolutely always want to see our senior. So we will do a face-to-face. We'll come to them either at home or at the hospital or rehab and do this comprehensive needs analysis and meet with the families. And then we can start matching them up with great quality providers.
And as you guide these families, Amy, how do you select the companies that you use and guide them towards?
That's a great question. We established, the company was founded 3 years ago, and we established right from the beginning a rule of thumb. Who would we trust with our own mother, our own grandmother, ourselves? And so our criteria for home care looks a little different than our quality criteria for facilities. But for instance, we're looking at inspection reports. We're looking at staffing. We're looking at reputation, because I'm telling you, we hear everything. We hear it from families. We hear it from hospice nurses. We hear it from other providers. And based on that criteria, we feel confident that we can sleep at night when we say, bring your mother here and move her in here, and this is our recommendation. Or you can trust this home care company because of the way that they do their training and their criminal background checks and their training. And their staffing levels too.
Amy, one question, I guess that I would ask is, obviously, senior care is such a growing industry, and there's such a need for it, which we've kind of heard about. I'm going to assume you're not the only advisory care service out there. So then, let me ask the question: what kind of differentiates senior provisions? You mentioned the face-to-face. I'm wondering if that's something that kind of differentiates you, and what else? What are some of those things that differentiate you?
Well, 3 years ago when I started the company, there were really two types. There was kind of larger internet-based companies, absolutely not face-to-face.
Yeah, 15 minutes can get you into a home kind of thing?
Exactly, okay. With a list of 30 properties.
Right. Good luck!
Yeah. Good luck with that. And there's a, I want to say there, it is a growing need. And that's, I prefer that phrase versus growing market, because I think the need has already always been there, but there is so many families in need of good, solid information. So the internet-based, there's starting to see hybrids where they are coming and doing face-to-face. And then there's the smaller kind of competitors like that fall in my category that are definitely go out and do touring. And I think what differentiates us and really sets us apart from anyone else out in the market, we are the only company right now following HIPAA guidelines. And I always kind of get a mix. If I'm sitting in a room full of nurses and social workers, their jaws drop. If I'm sitting in a group of just business people who aren't familiar with what HIPAA guidelines are, it doesn't mean as much to them until I start asking them, share with us all of your financial information, all your care and toileting needs, and all your family dynamics, and then why don't I just email or fax that or verbally share it with everyone in the Atlanta market in senior care without your permission? And usually then I get a jaw drop. So we always, absolutely, part of our comprehensive needs analysis is to make sure that families' privacy is protected. So we don't walk into a hospital or a rehab or go into someone's home and gather that personal information and share it with anyone without their written consent. And we also, we are a faith-based company. We're founded that way, and we put a little backbone to that because that's a nice warm and fuzzy, and it kind of gives you a good starting point with people.
Especially here in the South. Absolutely. I'll just say it. Everybody was thinking it. I'll be the one to say it.
And I'll kind of explain a little bit about the faith base in a minute. But the backbone of our company, we have developed a code of ethics for business practices. And all our decisions, any program that we launch, any decision that we're making as a company has to line up with that code of ethics. Is it furthering quality and improving quality of care out in the community? Is it educating the community? And that basis for us, that's what we operate under.
after you steer your clients to the services they need and they get the care they need, is there any kind of follow-up after that?
Absolutely. it's the beginning. Excuse me. It's the beginning of
Gesundheit.
The thank you.
Well done, Mike.
It's
bonus point.
Not my first rodeo.
It is just the beginning of our relationship with this family. And that's what we like build the trust and begin that journey with them. And sometimes it's in the middle of a crisis. Sometimes it's in the beginning where there is no crisis, which is my preference. But so often we do come in at a crisis point. We will advise them. Transition that senior if they're moving environments or they're adding services into their home and stay a resource for them throughout it. I have families that have called, I worked with 3 years ago, and we have great relationships, and they're calling me now asking me for recommendations for hospice.
That's great. Amy Henschel is our guest with Senior Provisions. Where do you see yourself 5 years from now? What's the future hold for Senior Provisions?
That's a great question. We have
two for me, zero
you
for Steven.
Yeah, but you lose the bonus point by mentioning it publicly, Mike.
Oh.
Sorry. Amy,
minus one.
Still ahead of you, Steven.
We have gone through substantial growth in the last 6 months, and we have four advisors, including, and then myself, so five that cover greater Atlanta. And we would like to continue that growth because of the need. We're growing slow. I will not compromise at all on any of our standards as we grow. So as we go into new markets, which we have our eye on, some other markets in Georgia, as well as in Tennessee and North and South Carolina, we're going to take the same similar approach. We're going to go slow. We are going to become the experts in that market and the resource that those families need.
That is great stuff. And congratulations on your success so far, Amy. For all our listeners, give us the information how they can reach out to you, how they can find out more information about Senior Provisions.
One way you can contact us is through and learn more about us is through our website at myseniorprovisions.com. Any family is welcome to reach out to us through our local number of 678-925-0223, 678-925-0223. And anyone's welcome just to call and get some free information.
Great. Amy, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Amy Henschel with Senior Provisions here on Gwinnett Business Radio. A big thank you to Amy. Also, a big thank you as well to Jill Kremens with Eva and Irma's House, and Victoria Collier with the Elder and Disability Law Firm of Victoria L. Collier. Quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and you can listen to any of our programs, including this one, 24/7 by logging on to GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. For Stephen Julian.
Mike, I'm going to go audit my steak for lunch at Jill's house. I just hope I don't sneeze on it.
Gesundheit. I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.